The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Normal is Broken. This week, Pastor Paul presents part two of this series.
It is great to be with you this morning. Hopefully all of you had a great Thanksgiving. I know for some of you, you started Christmas like weeks ago, but I'm one of those guys, I love Thanksgiving and I love celebrating Thanksgiving. You know, I love a great turkey dinner. I love the football you get to watch after the turkey dinner. I love the harvest season. I love the hunting season. I love the changing. I just love the Thanksgiving season. And you know, another thing that I love about Thanksgiving is the fact that for some of us, we're able to get together with family and friends. Karen's family, we did a Zoom meeting with family all over the country yesterday, and that was fun. But the biggest thing for my immediate family was Andrew, my son. He's not there all of a sudden. Where is he? Oh, he's back there now. Okay. He came home from college after 3 months away, and so we're just excited to have him home. And so, Andrew, welcome home. It's good to have you with us. And welcome to any other college students that have just come home, and it's great to have you in the room with us as well. And why I'm saying welcome, welcome to those of you who are home and watching online. It is great that we have this ability to be together, even though we're apart. So it's good to be with you. It's great to be with our friends over at the prison and at the jail. And for all of you here in the room, it is great to be together. You know, as we talk about family dynamics a little bit, and you know, like Andrew coming home and how that changes the dynamics, we're going to be talking about family dynamics a little bit, and more particular about our marriage dynamics, as we find ourselves in the second week of our sermon series called Normal is Broken. Now, the word normal, I think I've heard it from a bunch of you over these last several months, and maybe this is where you are right now, but for a lot of us, normal, we want to get back to normal. Is anybody in that place right now that you just want to go back to the normal that used to be? Yeah. We're just tired of 2020. But here's something we need to ponder a little bit, though. What if that old normal is not the best for us? What if there's something better out there than what the old normal was? And I know we're in a rough situation, but what if there's something even better than the old normal? Here's the question we're going to be pondering here today. What if God has a new normal that is available that is so much better than the old normal that we're wanting to get back to? Let me say that again. What if God has a new normal that is available that is so much better than the old normal? You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about here today. Over the 4 weeks, you know, looking at in our faith, in our finances, in our final moments, and today in our family, to talk about this understanding that normal is broken. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we dive into one of my favorite Old Testament books in the Bible called the Book of Malachi. Malachi is it's four chapters, so that's why we're looking at it over a four-week time. We're diving into this because God, through Malachi, was looking at the lives of the people in that time period, and he was looking at their lives and realizing their lives were messed up. Normal, their normal lives, if they lived it, was broken. And so God, through Malachi, says to them, wake up, because I have something better for you. I have a new normal that is so much better than anything that you've had before. And so last week, Richard kicked it off as he looked into this idea in chapter one that our faith, if we have faith in God, it should play out in how we live faithful lives before God. Our lives, if we have faith, should be an act of worship before God. And today then, we're going to be looking into chapter two and seeing how God speaks into our families, more specifically our marriages, and how we need to live in the midst of those relationships so that we can find that new blessed life that he has for us. And so as I was studying chapter two a little bit and trying to see what God is speaking into us there, one word in particular kept coming up to me that just feels like it's something we need to talk about today. And it's this word. It's the word integrity. Now, right off the bat, when I put that word integrity up there, you're already thinking of some of those different areas of your life where you realize that integrity is important to us. And you've also realized that there's certain areas that maybe there's been a lack of integrity for different reasons. So we need to get an understanding, what specifically is integrity. So let's talk with Webster. Webster is the dictionary that gives us the understanding. The definition of integrity. Number one, it's a firm adherence to a code of especially in moral or artistic values. So adherence is something, or an incorruptibility. It's not corruptible, it's solid. And the next one is an unimpaired condition or soundness. And then the third idea is the quality or state of being complete or undivided. So a completeness. So with integrity, we have incorruptibility, soundness, and completeness. And again, as you hear that definition, as you see some of those things, there's different areas of life that are coming to mind for us as we consider this of how, where integrity is important and where have we seen integrity not playing out, there being a lack of integrity. You know, you hear different stories out there. And for some of us, maybe as I share this idea, maybe some of you remember that thing called Spygate and Deflategate. Remember these guys? Oh, their groan comes through the crowd. I mean, for a lot of us, we didn't like these guys before they did that. But all of a sudden, they demonstrated a lack of integrity in how they played the game. Now, here's something for us to ponder, though. What if all of a sudden that lack of integrity had a different image that went with it? Something like this. Oh.
Never happened.
What? Never happened? Imagine if last year, you know, during that Super Bowl run, if all of a sudden the story comes out that there was a lack of integrity in getting all the way there. Can you imagine? Isn't it amazing how quickly we can realize that integrity in life, if it is not found, how quickly we can struggle with this? But here's something we have to consider, though. If our normal life, everyday normal life, includes a lack of integrity, then our normal is broken. Agreed? If our normal life, just how we think things just normally play out, if it includes a lack of integrity, then normal is broken. You know, I think back to another place in my life where integrity was truly ingrained into us. Before I was a pastor, I was being trained and then worked in the field of engineering. I was a civil engineer. And I remember back at Geneva College, as we were being trained how to design bridges and water treatment plants and roads, that over and over, both in our work ethic and in our designs, we kept being told, you need to put integrity into your work. Now, for all of you, you should be thinking, boy, I'm glad to hear that, because every time you go out on the roads or across the bridge, have you ever pondered before and wondered, I wonder how much the engineer had integrity, or the contractor who built it, or even the person who mixed the concrete. I wonder if they worked with integrity. Because if not, let's just face it, there's going to be some issues. You know, as a civil engineer, I see stories once in a while. And I saw this story a few years ago, and it was in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, several years ago, that all of a sudden this bridge on this side here, it collapsed. And it just went down, and a lot of people were hurt and injured. And let me just read a little bit of the story to help you understand what happened here with this bridge. The 8-lane bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed on Wednesday had been diligently inspected for years and had always passed, state officials said. It did not, however, get stellar grades for its condition. Additionally, officials said that the bridge's design had been considered outmoded for decades because a single failure of a structural part could bring down the whole bridge. Guess what? It happened. Overall, here's a good part. Overall, the bridge was rated 4 on a scale of 0 to 9. How are you feeling about that? Yeah. The bridge has been inspected annually since 1993, but independent engineers acknowledged yesterday that there are well-known limits to how useful an inspection can be. No kidding. How important is integrity to us? Because here's the interesting thing for me. As I looked at this image, and there, if you look at other pictures, you'll see this even more prominently, that you have this bridge here that has collapsed, and here's this bridge right next to it. Guess when this bridge was built? Exactly the same time as this bridge over here. And guess what rating it had on that scale of 0 to 9? Same grade, 4. And even though that's the case, here's these people over here driving along like life is what? Normal. Even though there might be another bridge right down the road that they could go to, they don't seem concerned. They're driving on this road, just continuing on with life. And so I wonder, as we consider this then, as we look at this idea of integrity, where are those places in life where we're willing for a lack of integrity to be part of our normal life? And where are those places where we might say that we want a higher integrity? Well, God takes to us with Malachi chapter 2 and helps us to look at a specific area in our family dynamics to help us to see that there's an area that should be at a high level of integrity that sometimes, or maybe many times, there's a lack, that normal is broken. So let's jump into Malachi chapter 2, starting in verse 10, where we read this. Are we not all children of the same father, he says, or asks? Are we not all created by the same God? And Malachi, in saying this, is asking these questions, is taking the people back to that original covenant relationship that God wanted to set up with the people, where God was saying, I'll be your God, and you will be my people. And if you live in my ways and put your faith in me, then life is going to be amazing. He brings it and summarizes it and brings the foundation to like this. Love God, love each other, and things will go well with you. But Malachi, after he opens those two questions, has another question because things are not going well for the people of God in this area. So this is the question he asks. He says, then why do we betray each other, violating, breaking the covenant of our ancestors? So we can see right away that Malachi is wanting the people to know you're breaking God's heart. You're going in a direction that is not where God wants it to be. Well, what specifically is he wanting to talk to? Let's jump to verse 11. Judah has been unfaithful, and a detestable thing has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. The men of Judah have defiled the Lord's beloved sanctuary by marrying women who worship idols. May the Lord cut off from the nation of Israel every last man who has done this and yet brings an offering to the Lord of heaven's army. We can see that God ain't pleased by what he's sharing here. He says this statement, may the Lord cut off from the nation of Israel every last man who has done this. He says, get them out. No longer let them be part of the people of God. Serious stuff. So what exactly are they doing? It said that the men were marrying or getting connected to these women who were outside the people of God, outside the people of faith in God. And God says that cannot be. And actually, this is something that God spoke into all the way back in the time of Moses, where God told him over and over again that you should not marry someone outside, someone that does not have faith in God. And it wasn't just back in the Old Testament, but it was also in the New Testament. We find the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, do not be yoked or don't get married to unbelievers. Why is this so important for God? You know, marrying somebody that is of different faith, whether they're atheists, whether they are Buddhists, Hinduism, doesn't matter what the other faith is, don't marry that individual. Now, some of you might be saying, what's the big deal? Well, because God knows that we are easily distracted and understands that if we are married to someone who's not on the same journey as we are, that they could pull us away from walking with Christ. You know, some of you here in the room, you get this. Because some of you are on a journey like that, where you are trying to walk with Christ, but your spouse is not. And so you are willing to say, yeah, it's hard to come every Sunday morning when someone is pulling me away and trying to keep me from following Jesus. And you know, you might be wondering, is God saying that I need to split from that person? And no, Paul speaks that in another place we don't have time to talk about today. But more importantly, God would look at this as an opportunity for you to pray for your spouse, to live a Christ-like life in front of them, almost making it a mission of yours to hopefully allow God to lead you that and lead that your spouse to a relationship with Christ. You see, God knows that this is something that breaks relationships and allows us to be distracted and pulls us away. So for those of you who don't see this as a big thing, well, hang on, because it's going to get worse, because these men are breaking God's heart. They're going against what God has in store for them. But also on top of that, right at the end of this passage, we saw that they're still coming to worship. And that continues in verse 13, where it says, "Here is another thing that you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning, because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure." So these guys are breaking God's heart, going against the ways that he would want. So they're sinning, but yet they're coming back and saying, "God, here we are, bless us." And this leads us to what Richard spoke to last week, that if we are people of faith and we say that we have faith in God, then that should play out in lives that are faithful to God. But instead, if we're saying, "God, we have faith in you," but yet we're living life as if we're the ones that we trust to make decisions of how the best way to live our lives, and therefore we're going away from the ways of God, but then we come in here on a Sunday morning and we say, "God, don't look at the rest of my life, God, but I'm here this morning, bless me," and we're wondering, why are things not going well with me in my life? Why is this such a big thing? Well, God tells him, starting in verse 14, "You cry out, 'Why doesn't the Lord accept my worship?' Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows that you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows." I told you it was going to get bigger. Did you catch what's going on here? These men who were all of a sudden chasing after these other women that were exciting to them and leading them astray were originally already married to good, faith-filled women. When they were younger, they got married and they had these families and children, and all of a sudden things just got out of whack. And they all of a sudden started following and chasing after these other ladies. God was not pleased at all. They were forsaking their marriage vows and moving on. They broke faith and they chased after these other ladies who were more exciting, a little sexy maybe, and more enticing to pull them aside. So normal is broken. We continue. "Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife?" Did you catch this? What God does? God is the one who makes you one with your wife. In body and spirit, you're God's. And what does he want then? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies." So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to her. God wants for each of us to have families of integrity with soundness and incorruptibility and completeness. God wants for each of us to have these marriages where we are not forsaking our spouse by chasing after others that could lead us astray. Now, for some of you in the room, you might be saying, "Wait a second, there was that D word with the H word. The fact that it says that God hates divorce." And some of you are struggling. So maybe you yourself has been through a divorce, or maybe you have a friend or a family member who's been through a divorce and say, "Wait a second, does that mean God hates me?" No, it doesn't. And I want to make sure that we clarify this. It does not say that God hates the person who's gone through a divorce. God loves each and every one of us and longs for each and every one of us to have a blessed marriage life. But God does hate the sinful actions that led to the divorce. And he does not enjoy at all seeing the brokenness that comes out of that divorce. God hates the sin that led to that divorce, but the person, the people involved, he loves and he longs for each of us to know him and his ways better so that we can have those lives, those marriages, those families of integrity. See, so God, as he looks at the situation, he sees that each and every one of us have the potential to be distracted, to have those that situation that leads us astray. You know, as I look at what these men were doing back in that time period and being distracted and divorcing their wives and chasing after others, I am so thankful that that happened way back then and we don't have to deal with that today, right? That we men don't ever allow our minds or our hearts to get distracted. All right. I'm wrong. I think we all know that this still is very prevalent today, and maybe even more so today because of all the technology that's in front of us. You know, for all of us, we have that ability to be distracted. And you know my major frustration with this is? That when God was creating male and female, you know, he did Adam first, and then he created Eve. Doggone him. I'm so frustrated with God that he made all of you women to be so beautiful. Why couldn't he make you all unattractive? And not draw us men into looking at you. And I know you women have the same problem because I look around the room and there's a lot of studs in this room and you ladies have that same issue. Yeah. And we can laugh and joke about that. But let's be honest. This is hard. You know, I think back to when I was a teenager, going all the way back, and how this was an issue for me is, you know, I used to get the Sports Illustrated magazine. Anybody else get Sports Illustrated when they were younger? Maybe some of you still get it. Sports Illustrated, during the year, there was always that one issue in particular in February that I always looked forward to. It wasn't the NFL issue. It wasn't the NBA. It wasn't the Major League Baseball. It was the, man, you guys all get it too, I see. Yeah, that swimsuit issue. What in the world was my mom thinking? Letting that come into my house and letting a teenage boy let all those images go into his brain. And you know what? And I know some of you are thinking, what's the big deal, right? It's normal. Boys will be boys, right? But what if normal is broken? What if normal leads to brokenness, broken relationships, yes, even broken marriages. Normal is broken. You know, one of the biggest problems, and I have an issue with God on this one as well. I want to have a talk to heart with God on this. Because one of the ways that God created us men with these issues that we're talking about is when God created us men, he gave us this thing called a Rolodex in the brain. You know what a Rolodex is? Some of you might be old enough to remember what a Rolodex is. We had these things on our desks. And they had all of our contact information for everybody in our church or in our business. We had all this contact information. Well, I know that we have phones and computers now for these, but God, when he created us, we men have like a Rolodex in here where each of those images that we look at over the course of our lives, we have the ability to take that image, plop it into the Rolodex of our brain, and then later on, depending on when we want to, we have the ability to pull that image back out, check it out again, and re-look at it, re-lust over it, and deal with it in that way. And that causes us the problems that we have to deal with then of knowing that there's all those different areas where we are putting these images into our brains, whether it's the Sports Illustrated issue, whether it's on Netflix, whether it's other movies, whether it's dealing with the pornography that's all over the place. We have this issue, and so I look back at my life and I say, Mom, Dad, you knew the problems. Why did you not take that issue and instantly throw it away and get it out of your teenage boy's heart? Because that's what God calls us to do in this text. Over and over again, several times he says, guard your heart. Put up those boundaries. Put those boundaries in place that will potentially distract you and pull you away from your spouse and keeping you from loving that spouse with all of your heart. And I know that we're talking a lot about the men and the imagery that can really distract us and pull us away. But let's face it, ladies, you're not immune from this either. For some of you, yes, it's the images. You see the eye candy out there and you struggle with that. But it's beyond that. For some of you ladies, it's the emotional that you deal with. that you, whether it's at work or in the community or someplace where you have an interaction with a dude and he looks at you and he says, boy, you have pretty eyes. Or, wow, that perfume smells extra nice today. Or, boy, you are dressed to the hill. You look great today. And as you're hearing that, man, your heart's going pitter-pat because you are being noticed. And Satan is so good at taking those moments and distracting us, potentially pulling us away from those vows that we make. Now, for some of you, you're saying, what's the big deal? Because I've heard the argument, what if I'm just looking, but I'm not touching? Is that really such a bad deal? And Jesus kind of spoke to that. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, Jesus says, anyone who ever looks at a woman or a man with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Guard your hearts, he says, because Satan is so good at distracting us and pulling us away. And some of us might be saying, what if I'm just dabbling a little bit? What if my integrity only lacks a little? You know, about 10 years ago, Karen and I were working in somebody's home together and helping them out and doing some things for them. And one of the things that Karen needed to do that day is she needed to get on the person's computer and do some things on there for her. And so she was working on there for a while, and all of a sudden, I was out working in another area, and she comes out to me, and she had this look on her face. Have you ever seen a look on someone's face when it just seems like they're going to hurl any second? And it's just like she was just getting ready to just chuck right there. I mean, she looked sicker than sick. Honey, what's wrong? What's going on? And she had a question for me. She says, were you on that computer earlier? And if so, what were you looking at? And I was able to quickly say, no, I was not on that computer earlier. I wasn't on her. Why? What's going on? And here one of the other guys that was working with us in that home had been on the computer earlier, and he was looking at some inappropriate things, some pornography. And you know, I looked at my wife's face in that moment. and as I looked at her face, I realized very quickly, don't get me wrong, I get it. In our generation, the imagery that's out there that we can easily see, whether it's on, you know, Netflix or HBO, or any of the movie channels, or on the computer lines, or even just out in public. We can see these imageries, and I get it. They're out there. And so maybe somebody says, what's the big deal? It's normal. But let me just say that based on what I saw on my wife's face, if this was ever a normal thing for me, it would break my wife. You know, I know we like to say that normal is normal, but if normal is broken, is it the best place to be? You know, God calls us to be different, which is why, you know, for me, I like to be very choosy of where I go on vacation. You know, we just spent a week in the Black Hills, and it was amazing there. We had a great time. You know, but for some of you, you like going to the beach. Who here loves going to the beach? There's a few of you out there that love going to the beach. And my family loves going to the beach. I am not a beach type of dude. And I have three S's of why I'm not a beach guy. You know what they are? Sand. Why does sand get where it goes? That's just so wrong. I don't know. The other, sunscreen. I hate putting sunscreen on. It just, And then swimsuits. Or for some ladies, the lack thereof. And, you know, We go to the beach, and for me, if I'm going to go, and I still go with my family, but if I'm going to go, I'm going to have a football to throw with Andrew or Daniel. I'm going to have a book to read, or sometimes I'm going to spend some extra time in the room because I want to put those boundaries up. I don't want to have those opportunities where Satan is going to take that opportunity and put another image into my Rolodex. I want to guard my heart so that I can only have eyes for my wife. You know, we come back to that word that we started with earlier. Remember that word, integrity? Integrity is incorruptibility. It's soundness. It's completeness. And it needs to not just be in certain areas of our life, not just when we're surrounded with a lot of people, but this needs to be when we are, especially maybe, when we're all alone. You know, integrity is doing the right thing, even when, or maybe especially when, no one else is looking. You know, when it's late at night or maybe early in the morning and everyone else is asleep and you're there in front of the screen by yourself, being a person of integrity. Or whether you're, you know, out and you're out of town and because of business you had to go out and you're by yourself and you're interacting with others and you put those guards up to be a person of integrity. Or whether you're just out at a restaurant and by yourself and having lunch and the waiter comes up to you and says, boy, don't you look good today. You know, we have to be aware that Satan knows how to distract us at all times and in all places. He is longing to separate us, to distract us, and to pull us away from those vows that we take with our spouse. You remember that bridge? That bridge that, you know, we looked at here a few minutes ago. You know, again, this part over here, this is the brokenness of life. That so many people, so many relationships have felt this brokenness in their lives because their normal life is broken. But over here, you know, one of the biggest things, again, I noticed was that on this bridge, even though this one over here is broken and this one here is the exact same bridge with the same level of integrity, people keep driving on this bridge. And they keep driving. They see what's going on over here, but they just keep doing the normal way of life. Even though right down the road, there's another bridge that they could go across. It's a little bit out of the way, and it's going to be maybe a little bit longer that it's going to take them. But over here, this is normal, right? And normal is where we're used to being. Normal is where everybody else is. Everybody else is doing it. And this is where we feel comfortable. And besides, because everybody else is over here, Satan distracts us and says, if you're not here, then you might miss out. And so we stay on normal. But so often when we find ourselves in that normal, normal is broken. Because Satan has distracted us and allows us to think that that normal life that we're living is okay when actually it's leading us to eventually find ourselves in that brokenness. It separates us from God and we miss out then. Not just are we breaking the relations around us, but we break God's heart and we push him aside. He still loves us. He still longs for us to have that blessed life, but we keep separating ourselves from him. What we need to do is we need to talk, to walk with God and to get ourselves onto a different bridge or road where integrity lives. We need to chase after God and seek after his heart and figure out where is that road, where is that bridge where we guard our hearts and we're chasing after our vows that we make with our spouse instead of the other normal that's out there and available. You know, one of the hard things with this type of a sermon is that you are all on different places in this journey. You know, some of you deal with certain places in life where you have to face the integrity issue but none of us are on the same place. For me to just say, here's the one or two things that you have to do and you're going to fix this problem, it's just not there. We seek God's heart. But here's a couple ideas that could potentially help you to better guard your heart or your family's heart in this. One of them is Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is an online computer company that is willing, it's a Christian company that's willing to help you to guard your heart. And basically, they come online with you on all your devices, and they help hold accountability in what you're looking at and keeping you from looking at the things that could distract you. Both Pastor Mike's family and my family have it on all of our devices because we simply know that Satan is good at his job, and we just want to guard our hearts and put up the boundaries that we know are available to us to keep both we as adults and our children from going down a route that we don't want to go. Now, if you want to consider this, we actually have this coveyes.com/NLG. This is the New Life group. And if you use this to get on to Covenant Eyes, you're going to get a small reduction in the cost that they charge every month to keep you at a better place. So I invite you, if you want to, take an image of this or let us know, but you can type that in very quickly. You can use that to put that boundary so you have accountability. And that's another thing. Accountability is so huge on this. Whether you do it through Covenant Eyes or whether you just find an accountability partner, it can be your spouse, but sometimes it's better to find that person outside your relationship where iron can sharpen iron, where you can pray for each other, where you can question each other and make sure that you're all where you need to be in this area of life. Another thing I want to suggest, if any of you guys out there, or maybe some of you ladies, have the Rolodex issue, where you have a lot of those images ingrained in your brain from all those things that you've looked at over your life, I want to tell you something that works. Once I started learning about this many years ago, about how this works, I started praying about it and saying, God, I don't want this for my wife. I want to eradicate all those images that are in that Rolodex. God, get them out of here. And here's the cool thing. We have a God that longs for my relationship with my wife to be a relationship of integrity. So I've been praying, God, take them out of there. Now, either two things. Either because I'm getting older, I can't remember them anymore, or I believe that God is answering my prayer and that God is just blessing my by taking some of those images out of my head so that I can more and more have only eyes for Karen. Lastly, don't just be on the defensive. Don't just put those boundaries up, but instead you have to pour into those relationships that you have. Pour into your marriages, whether it's praying together, whether it's reading a devotional together, whether it's being intentional of going to marriage seminars together, doing those things to help allow God to pour into your marriage to make those wedding vows more strong. You know, for all of us in 2020, we like to think we want to get back to normal. But what if that old normal is broken? And what if we have a God who longs for us to learn of this new normal, this better place where we can walk with God with integrity to allow our marriages to have soundness and completeness so that we might continue to be blessed in the midst. As we go into 2021, let that be our prayer, that we pray that God lead us into a new normal that finds the blessings of God. God, I thank you for this word from Malachi that we needed to hear today, God. Because each and every one of us here in our own way, we've been distracted. That Satan has those moments where he takes our minds off of our spouse or possibly our future spouse, and Satan distracts us and pulls us away. God, I thank you that you are with us on this, that you love us in this, and you long for us to walk more and more in your ways and to find the integrity that comes from the power of your Holy Spirit changing us and moving us to that new place to be. So God, here we are, longing for more of you. Keep us off the road that will break and fall. Keep us on a road that walks with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.